Welcome back, Bulls Nation, to the Nothing But Bull Podcast. I'm your host, Derek, and of course, I'm here with my main man, Justin, Just B. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. I can't lie and say that I'm super happy, but I am excited about this year with the way things started out with us, which we'll talk about more, but I'm good.
And of course, we have Melissa, the famous Bulls Nation celebrity.
Oh, okay. Who's talking? Who was just on TV? Casually on TV a couple of days ago. Didn't even know who was going to be on TV, and I'm the celebrity.
The famous Jordan model. Yes, yeah, the celebrity. Yeah. How's it going, Melissa?
Oh, man, it's going great. Coming off of a great game yesterday. But hey, we're happy to be back. Happy to be back here enjoying and suffering with all of you. Missed you all.
Yes, it's been a minute, and it's kind of like we're back here in the same place. Even though it's only been three games into the season, we got 79 more to go. Let's show some hope, people.
Actually, you know, Derek, I don't feel like aside from what's going on with the Bulls, I don't feel like we're in the same place that we were before, because I got a chance, first of all, to just make sure that you two were real people when we met up for the first time at the home opening.
Why were you calling us deep fakes? That's crazy.
That's super crazy.
We should be calling you that. Derek and I had met already a million times.
Yeah, but how would I know that you all definitely met already? So I could say the same thing.
I feel like this might be something for like another type of show. Conspiracy theory type.
Like, me and Melissa have been in the same place, same time. We've always been like, Justin, are you coming? And then there's some reason that you're not coming. So it seemed like you were the deep fake, buddy.
Yeah, we were kind of worried this was like a multiple pump fake situation and you weren't actually going to shoot the shot. Because like, next thing you know, we hadn't heard anything from you. And then Justin calls me. I'm like, the day of the game. And he's like, hey, I'm by O'Hare. What? I'm by O'Hare. Should I take the train or get on a lift? And I'm like, wait, so you're actually here? You arrived? You're here? So anyways, we're happy to meet you in real life.
Yeah, and I'm not 4'8", as apparently a lot of people thought that I was for some reason.
I thought you were 9'2", so I wasn't
too long. So wait, you were disappointed? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you're a lot shorter than I thought you would be. I thought you were going to be 9'2".
Well, I'm sorry. I apologize.
But you're really, what, 6'2"?
Yeah, about 6'2".
Yeah, see, 3 feet shorter than I thought. But yeah, some people thought they definitely thought you were like 4'2".
Notice his camera angle has changed for this show.
True. Yeah, usually, like last year, your camera angles were like this.
I decided to push it back once I realized that people thought that I was the same size as a fourth grader. So. No, but I say this year is different because, you know, normally after losses, I don't know about you, but like I internalize these losses way more than I should. And, you know, many times I would just go home be at home just feeling depressed. But just being able to like meet up with you all for the first time and really be able to embrace our community that we have that's going on. Like, I felt like a winner. Even at that home lot, that home opener where we lost, I felt like a winner. I was, like, so hyped just to be in Chicago, really, for the first time, let alone being at the game, being in the United Center, meeting up with you all, meeting up with so many other people who are creators themselves. It was a really exciting time. And I'm still pretty much stoked for this year and what this year will bring. So thank you.
Can we talk about, I just want to know exactly how you felt when you walked in the UC. We need a breakdown, full breakdown, because it was your first time there ever, right?
Yeah, it was my first time ever. And you know, the way the news like plays up Chicago, they play it up like someplace that you wouldn't want to go to, just the same way that people like play up Miami, like it's like nothing but danger all around. But the people, first of all, going in were just super nice. All of the fans that I ran into on the way into the building were just so jazzed to be there. And then just going in, you know, I was a little bit taken aback because I didn't know what my first thought was going to be meeting up with you all. But as I was entering in and seeing the excitement, seeing that statue in the atrium, it was really, when I first got there, it was just overwhelming just because of all of the excitement that was there. You have to understand, being in Florida, like our sports fans don't react to events like that. You know, it's usually like if a game starts at 7:30, then people start piling in around 8 o'clock or 8:15 because, you know, they feel like they're too cool to be on time. But there was just so much energy in that building. And also meeting up with you all and just seeing like smiles on everybody's faces, and not because we were all getting a free drink. It was just cool. It was an awesome experience.
Yeah, this is the experience that happens every time we go there. We always invite you. So maybe hearing this, Keisha will let you come out more.
Well, hey, you know, this like was not an easy thing for me to do, to put together. Like I was Uber eating. Drive, like putting together money basically for this trip just to try to like come close to seeing if I can make it happen. And then somehow like some money got, you know, moved our way because of something's going on with my computer. I don't know what's going on. Yeah, but something, some money got moved my way. I, you know, was able to save up. So it was not easy, but it was definitely worth the experience.
Yes, the experience of like 60 Bulls fans coming together. Shout out Melissa for working out the spreadsheet and organizing all of that.
That was so much fun. It was so fun seeing like all people, all these different people, like from little subgroups, just like all kicking it. And like you said, Justin, even though the outcome of the game wasn't the greatest, we just all had fun. Like we weren't even really. We weren't really feeling the loss like we probably should have, but we were just all having fun. The energy in the building is always crazy. Bulls fans are bar none, like they're the best. There's just always excitement. So yeah, it was fun. It was so fun. I'm so happy and grateful you guys all came in. We had people flying in and driving in from everywhere. So blessings and shout out to the Bulls for always just taking care of us too. Shout out Camille.
Definitely. Yeah. Shout out Camille.
Yeah, definitely. And so, even though there was like a little bit of awkwardness at the beginning, I don't know if you all felt it, but I felt it between us. Like, wait, you're actually here? Like,
it was definitely, oh, you're actually here.
Yeah, it was like, for me, it was like seeing the Loch Ness Monster. Like, you're just like this tall thing floating around in the back. And I was like,
wait, is that a Yeti?
Is that Justin? Because you didn't even say anything to any of us. Like, you were just, like, floating around. And then you were at the back of the line when I was doing all the wristbands. And you didn't say nothing. I'm, like, looking at the back of the line. I'm like, I think that's Justin.
We had already talked before he got into the line for the wristband.
I'm like, dang, you couldn't see anything. You just fall into the back of the line. And I'm like, yeah, I think that's him. You couldn't say hi. Just straight to the back of the line.
I did say hi, but you were so caught up in the excitement. I don't think you realized that it was that I was me.
Yeah, no. I don't know. Maybe I wasn't paying attention then if you didn't say come say hi to me, but
yeah, you were handing out wristbands at that point.
Yeah, I was also sweating and anxious. So I don't know, maybe. But you're kind of hard to miss. But my bad if I missed you. But so, we're just happy you were there.
Yeah. So we said being at the home opener and us being in this group, and we really didn't feel that loss. And then we go into this thrilling overtime game where we get the win. So you're riding on this high where you really don't feel that loss until we lose to the Pistons for the first time since 2019.
Yeah, we snapped the 15-game losing streak. We always are coming with the best stats, like giving people their record, like letting them break all their records against us, and how they get to snap their losing streak to us. Yeah, that's tough. Are the Pistons a better team than us now? Is that what that is?
I don't think so. Even though Kate kind of am.
Things are definitely disjointed. You know, like there were just like it, and I know we've talked about this at length in previous podcasts, but it is just so amazing to me that teams know what the Bulls could do to them, and they just wait it out because the Bulls will do it for a little bit, but they're definitely onto the. They're not committed to playing smart basketball. Like in that home opener where, you know, 195-pound Chet Holmgren is trying to guard Vooch, and just inexplicably, we go away from it when it's a clear mismatch. Like right from the beginning, you could see it. Everybody that I was sitting next to was like, give it to Vooch. He's in the post. That guy can't guard him. And they just went away from it, which, you know, it afterwards, like seeing that blow up and you could talk about it yourself, Derek, because you were like right behind the bench when you were sneaking away from our crowd somehow.
That's the celebrity. We're trying to tell you that's the celebrity. He got the up close seats.
Shout out to Stacey. So. Yeah, I've seen it up close and personal where Vooch, he just got pulled out of the game when he had that technical, and he just like immediately goes and starts cussing Billy out. And I'm like, yes, let him have it, Vooch. Get this guy out of here. Oh my goodness, I have a video of Billy just chewing gum violently. Like, I have no idea how. That gum didn't turn to powder. He does nothing to make adjustments still.
Yeah.
Calling timeouts. Like, Vooch and Drummond should have been bullying Holmgren the whole night. Mm-hmm. Does he say, hey, we need to go into the post because we have a mismatch? No. He pulls Vooch out and understandably, Vooch is upset, and he's like just tuned Billy out for the rest of the game and the timeouts. Wasn't even looking his way. And then for them to have a players only meeting directly after the first game of the season,
yeah,
and asking Billy to step out of the locker room kind of sums it up.
I know I was like talking about this a lot last season. It's like I'm trying to figure out is it Billy not drawing up these plays, or is it the players not buying into what he's doing, or are they just lazy? Like, because we all know from like his history, the types of plays he draws up, it's like 1-2 touches max, and that's it. And we obviously need to be more creative to get the offense flowing. And still, I'm still trying to figure out what it is. I'm still leaning towards it's just Billy not drawing up anything, but you can also see that. He's also lost the players too. It's pretty obvious. Again, lost the players. But at what point? Again, this is the same I feel like I'm saying the exact same things from last season. Like, at what point do you just get tired of it? And just if you're not getting the guidance that you need from the coach in terms of like getting the offense moving, like when is the whole team just going to put in like max effort and just continue to move, like do basic fundamentals to just create space and like get the ball moving? Like, you see people stagnant off ball, just standing there doing nothing, just like last season. And we're just reverting back to the last game. It was DeMar. Now this game, this most current game, it was Zach. It's the same thing. I don't understand.
I don't think that it's really on the players. And I know, like, we're going to talk about, like, Pat a little bit further in the show, but I definitely don't think it's on the players. And I say that because, like, just looking at that first game, one of the things that I was interested in was when Caruso was interviewed, and he talked about the person who was really, like, shining on defense. And he threw a lot of love to Coby White's way, talking about, like, his ability to navigate through screens. And one of the things that I was looking for in that OKC game was, how were they going to do – were they going to get away from just switching? Because that's all we saw with this Bulls team, is this them constantly switching, which doesn't make any sense because you have a team that is definitely undersized. And OKC has a lot of length to them. So for you to switch on them, obviously they were just going to find the mismatch somewhere. And what I saw was, like, on every single play, the Bulls would just switch. It was just nothing but switching. That goes into what the philosophy defensively of the game is. And if your coach is, like, building you up that that's what you're going to do, then that's what the team is going to do. Because they're already in this mindset of, we have to follow the game plan and we want to stick to the game plan. And a lot of talk coming into the season was whether or not the Bulls were going to be committed to the way Billy wanted to run things, not just on offense, but also on defense, because they did have some success there defensively last year. And you saw, the reason why I say that it was definitely something that they thought about going in was because in the next game, they went away from switching. It was just guys just fighting through screens. So I'm definitely, from my end, I'm positive that this is muscle memory that the team is building up based off of the principles that Billy is trying to instill with this offense, or not just with the offense, but with the defense. Now, it was funny also being in the home game, we talked about how stagnant the offense has been. But, like, literally being in the arena and watching four guys on offense just standing around in the perimeter, I couldn't believe it. It was like they are literally just standing there waiting for something to happen, as if magically the ball is going to know to come to them. It was no movement, no anything. And when you have these issues where we talked about the offense being slow coming out the gate, and we talked about the importance of Coby needing to get into the paint to make something happen, and yet and still we see the same exact thing, even with Coby being the new point guard and having the ability that he has, to see the same exact thing, that tells me that whatever it is that Billy has been talking about or preaching about, or anybody who thinks that he's instilling some type of offensive flow to this team, it's not taking place. Everything that he is saying is just basically broken. And I don't believe that a whole bunch of players on this team are definitely just ignoring any suggestions that Billy is giving. I think that he has a game plan, and throughout the game, he doesn't have any solutions. He does not have if A isn't working, let's try B, let's try C. He doesn't have a curveball, as, you know, some of my friends would tell me in the past. And, you know, it's problematic. It's going to continue to be problematic until he's out of here.
He has no type of plan. He doesn't even have plan A. It's random offense.
I know, yeah. Yeah. I say that. It's the random offense. And that's what I'm saying. Like, as a professional basketball player, I know, like, some of us played sports, some of us didn't. Like, in grammar school, you didn't have a play for every single like every single time you didn't have a play drawn up, but you know the fundamentals of basketball. just move, set screens, pick and rolls, like this is simple stuff. Like just do the simple effort things and stuff will start happening. Like if you're not getting it from the coach, like where's the pride? Like I know we're only a few games in, but feeling a lot like last year.
See, that's the thing. It's like we look at it and like, well, you guys are professionals, you should know. And that's not really the case. I watch a lot of League Pass, and it's not just necessarily a Billy issue. Like, this is league wide. There is a lot of guys in the NBA who are high functioning level talents that don't know how to operate in an offense unless the ball is in their hands. This is something that you see that, like, league wise, you see guys just standing around the corner, and the mentality is, well, if we make enough threes, we play a little bit of defense and get some stops, then we could come out of this with a win. I don't want to just harp on Billy, because I see this a lot from other teams. There's a tremendous amount of lack of teaching, which, you know, as a coach, you're supposed to have solutions. But this is an issue that is happening throughout the league. And you see a lot of these young players, at first it starts in AAU. A lot of these guys are not really being coached in AAU, and they're not receiving that in college, because if you have players who are there for just 1 year or even 2 years, and the coach is concentrating on making sure that his star players are you know, in a right mindset that they want to play for him that night, there's just a lot of coaching that is not being done across the league. So it's not just a Billy problem. Even with like the whole entire thing of switching, I was surprised that Billy went to a zone in that that Detroit game. I don't know if you all saw that. It was like they came out of a timeout and like he just went to a zone. It was like very brief. But that's something that you don't see in a lot of teams throughout the NBA. A lot of the NBA is just nothing but constant switching. And it's because you don't have coaches who are teaching, hey, let's do a 1-3-1 or a box. Let's do something defensively to throw teams out of their rhythm. So it's just, there's a lot of bad basketball overall. And because we're Bulls fans, we're concentrated on this, which is just a bunch of hot garbage, but it is league wide what I'm seeing throughout the NBA.
Especially come off such like a high from last season on like hanging our hat on like defense. Well, what even was yesterday?
Yesterday was terrible. It was give Zach the ball and get out the way, which maybe would have worked had they then come down on defense and actually got some stops.
Zero
defense. Yeah, I mean, just watching yesterday was what I thought was going to happen. Not necessarily like Zach going for 50 something points, but I expected the team to come out lethargic, because I don't know about you, after that game two versus Toronto, I was exhausted myself. You know, I didn't know if I would be able to make the next game. Like, just viewing, I was mentally just spent because of all of the energy that went into that game. But as I was watching them and I was happy about the win, I was like, there's no way that the Bulls can sustain this level of effort. Like, it took just a ridiculous amount of energy and effort for Caruso, from Craig. It seemed like the Bulls had like six players out there versus Toronto's five. And I was like, there's no way that they can sustain that level of effort. And then you see, like, we saw Kobe didn't put up any points, but Kobe was routinely taking charges in the game prior. He was routinely getting matched up against guys who outweighed him and were larger than him and getting pushed around. And he had to pick up the effort defensively. So I really expected Kobe in the next game to come out kind of lethargic, because he was just taking a beating. But the Bulls cannot sustain this level, that level of effort. And there are certain concepts, like even, you know, Donovan talked about getting Zach in catch and shoot situations, but nobody in the media, and this is where I also blame the media, nobody blames the media or like for not going in. Like, Chicago's a major market. When do you ever hear media people like asking Billy like a hard hitting question, making him explain himself for a lot of these issues that are going on? There was a catch and shoot situation that was created, and it wasn't even Zach on the floor, but it was one particular play that the Bulls ran where it was like Kobe, DeMar, and it was Vooch. And it led to DeMar getting, it led to DeMar getting like an open three, but like DeMar was like setting a screen for Kobe, and then he came off the screen. But like, that's the thing. We don't see that type of interaction. You want to create catch and shoot situations for Zach. Why don't we ever see DeMar screening for Kobe? Like, making defenses have to make some type of business decision. Either we're going to have to deal with DeMar going one-on-one, or Zach's going to get a wide open catch and shoot opportunity from three. The Bulls don't play smart, but they're only as smart as their head coach, and he's not very smart.
He's not smart at all. that's the thing. But, you know, speaking to what you said about all the energy that they took to win that game against Toronto in overtime, and we had two starters come out the next game and score 0 points, one being Kobe White. I'm not coming down on Kobe. Like you said, he was defending bigger guys, like against Toronto, getting beat up. He put up 17, 8, and 6 in that game. So he was tired. The other one was Patrick Williams, and I will completely come down on Patrick Williams because he played, what, 13 minutes the night before? Kobe and Zach and all of them played like 40. What was his excuse? He didn't really play that much against Toronto. Didn't seem happy about it either, because when Caruso hit that game-winning three, everybody on the bench is going crazy, except for Patrick Williams, who has this kind of annoyed look and walks the other direction from the team. Like, he wanted to say, we could have won if I played more. But because Caruso hit that shot, he knew he couldn't say that, and he couldn't use that for his contract negotiation. People saw me on Twitter say, we have another Carly Jones on this team. I'm talking about Patrick Williams. Carlique was great. He was the MVP of the G League.
For Derek to say Carlique was great. Sorry.
In the G League. Mm-hmm. He won MVP. Mm-hmm. He was great in the G League. Mm-hmm. When he played with the Bulls, what did he do? Nothing. Patrick Williams, we see all this footage where he's in these pro-am games, and you're like, oh, he looks like a superstar. What does he do when he plays in the NBA? His best two games have been against people without their starters, where we're resting our starters because it's towards the end of the season. He's another Carlique Jones. He has no heart. He has no balls. How? Does this man have like 3 rebounds over 3 games? And the Pistons point guard got more rebounds last night than he has his whole season so far. I'm done with Patrick Williams. Completely
done. That's kind of how I am. That's kind of where I'm at now too. I've been having a lot of faith in him for all this time, and you know, we're seeing flashes of what he can do, all this footage. But like, for me, it's just the lack of effort. Like, it's like he's purposely, he just does not even want to be playing basketball at this point. That's what it looks like to me. Like, you'll see, you know, he was known for his defense. He's been a great defender, but like, as of late, you see him just not he's not moving. Like, players are just busting right past him, getting to the lane, and his feet are just super slow. And then what you had just pointed out with that footage after Alex had hit that three, that for me was like, okay, gotcha. You're mad about the contract. Okay, cool. So, yeah, it's tough. It's tough. I'm not really feeling Patrick anymore either. I know I didn't want him to start anymore. I know I wanted Torrey to start. But after seeing that one especially and then seeing how he played on defense against the Pistons, you can assign him to the G League. Like,
his defense has become overrated. He's not even that much of a good defender anymore.
I have a totally different take.
Well, it's like a skill versus will thing for me. That's what I'm seeing. And that's why for me, I'm like, forget it. Like every other time I'm like, you know, he's got it. He's got it in him. He just needs like a little push. He needs a little confidence. He just needs to find his footing. But now it's apparent that it's like a will thing. That's what it's looking like for me. Like, he just doesn't want to do those things.
He has no will. Even though his name is P. Will, it should be no will because he has
no will.
I think differently about it. And maybe it's just me. I think that what they've done with Pat is really like almost borderline criminal. And I'm not trying to be hyperbolic, but when I look at Pat, like, first of all, I don't know about, like, I just learned that you went to college, Melissa, and I went to college. I don't know about Derek, but like, look, when I'm thinking about my own experience, when I went to college, I studied music. I was a music major. I did not go and hang out in our new shiny engineering wing of FIU. I didn't hang out in the new like law library wing that they had that they were building. I hung out in the music department with the musicians. Now, people like were like over the moon when they were watching Pat training with DeMar and doing all of these different like skill, you know, these like skill practices with him. My question is, if you want Pat to be your four, when is he going to actually have the opportunity to do that on this team with ball dominant players in Zach and with DeMar and with Vooch needing his touches? If I'm the front office and I see like DeMar trying to take him under this wing, I appreciate him trying to mentor him as far as being a professional, but I want my four to be doing four things. Those are the things that I need you to be working on, practicing like with cutting, body positioning, getting down low, those types of things. And I say that from the standpoint of when Pat first came in, everybody was comparing him to Kawhi Leonard. Well, Kawhi plays a guard / forward position. When Pat was playing on early in his career, Pat had a lot of success playing next to an actual power forward. When Lauri Markkanen was on this team, and Pat was able to just be that wing who was providing you that 3-and-D portion for his game, it was helping. And you saw the Bulls starting to build something with that. And even when I look back earlier this day and I was looking at their win-loss record, 30 games into the season, the Bulls were like 14-16. They were establishing something with having Pat as a forward and having Markkanen, and even with having Kobe. There were some issues that happened as far as guys getting injured, but you started to see, as I was going through a lot of the stat sheets and looking back on those games, you saw Billy experimenting with these different crazy lineup rosters. Like, and I know they had injury problems, but they have not put out a clear path of what Pat needs to do on this team. And I say that in the standpoint of, if you need him to be a four, then you need to make sure that those are the types of things that he is working on that can help this team succeed. You can't send him for an offseason, or, and I didn't say that they sent him, but you can't look back and watch him hanging out with DeMar working on guard level skills and then
when the season starts, be like, well, why aren't you being successful as this four? And that goes back to front office having a clear pathway for their players. And it goes back to Billy creating something that is very clear and concrete for these players to succeed. It's criminal in the sense of no one at the top, the people who actually have influence over this organization, is doing anything to hurt their players. And I feel bad because when I looked on social media, a lot of people were like, oh, there goes Zach with his empty 50-point game. I'm like, do you know how hard it is to actually have a player like Zach who puts up the type of efficient stats that he does? And it's incredibly disappointing that the Bulls can't find a way to maximize the talent of the roster that they the talent of the players that they have on this roster right now. It's very frustrating that no one really is doing their job and creating pathways for these players to be successful. And it can't go on like this. You talked about this earlier, Melissa, about how do we do this for a full entire year? You can't. There's no way that the Bulls can continue to go down this path of, well, just like Billy will make the players figure this out. Even with Vooch, when he got up in arms and they did that players only meeting, from the I was listening to the national radio and people were like going off on about the Bulls. Like, you're having like this players only meeting one game into the season. This isn't one game. This is 3 years of this mess now, where there is no direction for this team. I cannot just say the players need to do this if there is, from the outside, we can clearly see that the communication on this team is lacking, especially in the exit interviews where it was Eversley who said, yeah, the players didn't feel like a team last year. Well, what does that tell you about the person who is actually the head coach of the team? Doesn't that kind of fall in his wheelhouse of making sure that players are communicating with each other? Like, I don't know how he gets a free pass. And it's problematic because we've seen Pat be productive earlier on in his career, and he has just constantly regressed. And before I want to just put that on Pat as a young player, you got to give these guys some kind of pathway for them to be successful. That's just my opinion.
The dude doesn't rebound.
He didn't rebound earlier in his career.
What he said, he did not rebound earlier. Interviewed him recently, and he's like, "Oh, I can rebound. It's just a mindset."
That might be true.
He has no mindset to rebound. He has no mindset to do what he needs to do. Yet says, "Oh, I can do it." I'm not going to sit here and tell you, "Oh, I could average 15 points if I played in the NBA right now," knowing damn well I could not. Mm-hmm. You're going to tell me you're going to sit around in national media and say, oh, yeah, I can rebound. It's nothing physically where I can't rebound. It's just the mindset that you got to rebound.
I think that's a lot of posturing, though.
But you don't rebound?
Guys like young guys up in front of the media, you're trying to like establish yourself as a player who you feel like you are deserving of a contract. Guys say a lot of stupid stuff, especially like when microphones and cameras get in front of their face. And I'm not totally absolving P. Will of everything. I am saying there's a clear problem with the person who is in charge of this team on a regular basis. That team looks unprepared every single time that we see them. And I can't just be like, oh, well, all of the players are unprepared. Dude, you got to if there was no reason for us to have coaching, then they would just get rid of them. You're making millions of dollars too. You got to put in some kind of effort. You got to have some kind of answers. And I can't just totally be like, oh, well, he needs to do this. You gotta find ways to create spaces for your players to succeed. And he has not done that. And that's going back, not just with this Bulls team. That's going back to OKC too. When you watch star player leave from that organization too.
But it's more than one thing. It's Pat and it's Billy. Like, they can both, how do I say this politely? I can't. But it's both of them. It's Pat, you can see, like, he just looks lost, but you can tell he's not trying. Like, we've already seen what he can do. And he's just not trying. It's a will thing. It's 100% a will thing. It's not a skill thing. I'm like 100% set on that. 100%. And Billy, like you already know, Billy's not doing anything. He's not coaching. He's not drawing up plays. He has no ulterior plans. It's just, it's the same thing as last season and the season before. And he would have been great as like a coach for the first season when like we're in the beginning of the rebuild and he's like the nice guy, but like that's it. After like the first season, we could have gotten a different coach. I mean, that stupid Max, the secret extension like blew me. It just doesn't, nothing makes sense. Like nothing makes sense. Like that blew me. And here we are again in the same exact situation. I thought things might be different with like the Patton hire and the player, you know, coach, the player development hires. Like, no, at the end of the day, we still got the same coach, still not running anything, still have no alternatives. It's still the same plays or random plays or lack thereof. No accountability. People are still just doing what they do. It's both. It's Pat and Billy.
It is both, but I'm going to say it a different way. We're looking at players who have left this organization and have gotten better. So, I mean,
one person. Y'all want to keep bringing up Lori?
It's not Lori one sucked person. In Cleveland too. I'm looking at Lori. I'm looking at Wendell. Wendell has shown himself to be a good fourth option on a team that actually is playing a lot better than what this team is playing. If you have clear directions, you can do a lot more than having somebody who's just out there chewing gum. That's all I'm saying. Because you can say, it's all on this player. And I think that is like an easy cop-out, especially when you're looking at, when I'm looking at the sense of, even with having Pat starting, if Pat was like so successful coming off the bench in his career at FSU, if that's what he was doing, it would make sense that you would start putting players in positions that they're more comfortable with. Even last year, we saw that Pat started to come more into his own when he was coming off of the bench, not necessarily playing from the starting power forward position, as opposed to a guy who was just going out there, not really having to think as much. And then you start off again, putting him in the situation that caused a lot of us angst to begin with. That is the kind of the thought process that I just do not understand with this head coach. I don't get it.
Like, number one, of course, Billy is the main issue here. We've established that. But number two, it's still Pat not playing how he should play. Yes, he spent time with DeMar DeRozan, you're saying, like, learning guard things. A lot of forwards play like guards in this league. Number one. The first person I can point out is Kevin Durant, obviously, but hey, he's Kevin Durant. He's a top 75 player. But there are other...
Durant was a small forward when he came into the league.
And he plays power forward. He's played power forward since he's been with Golden State.
He also has put on a bunch more weight to be able to handle that load of playing power forward.
Pat ain't no skinny dude. Durant was skinny when he came in the league.
So Pat's solid. DeRozan outweighs him.
Okay, but Pat's solid. I'm just using Durant as a person. There are other forwards who play like guards that have guard-like skills. So him training with DeMar has no effect on him playing like a forward.
I don't know the power forwards who are like the starting caliber power forwards who have these guard skills that you're talking about.
Durant, Carl Anthony Towns, Anthony Davis. You want me to keep going down with
Carl
people
Anthony
who can play
Towns?
Like guards? The best shooting big man in the league, yes. He has guard-like skills. And, like, dude, there is positionless basketball. Wembanyama, he has guard-like skills. He's a power forward. That training as with guard abilities, it doesn't affect the position that he plays. It's his heart, which he has none.
You also mentioned guys who are the featured players who have the ball in their hands. What is
Torrey Craig? Torrey Craig cuts. He plays how Patrick Williams should play, and Torrey Craig should be the starter. You go saying, yeah, Patrick Williams should be on the bench because he was playing good off the bench last year. Guess who else was? Kobe White. Kobe White was the one making sure Patrick Williams ate. You move Kobe to the starting lineup, so you're thinking, hey, him and Pat will still have that connection. Instead, Pat's like, no, Zach and DeMar and Vooch out here, so let me just stand here and shoot a three because I shot so well from three.
Okay, first of all, that's not the first time that they had that connection going on. In Pat's first year, Kobe and Pat were both starting. They already had that connection with each other. Second of all, when you're talking about him coming off the bench, there are no other bigs or powerful or wing players who are going to get in the way of Pat having the ball in his hand. If you had to take Pat and put him next to Kobe, you know that Kobe's going to have the ball in his hand because he's going to be the starting point guard. You have Zach, who is going to need the ball in his hand. DeMar always slows down the offense and looks around trying to navigate what the defenses are going to do. It's not the same relationship, and it's not the same level of chemistry that he's going to have if you are the featured players, two featured players who are coming off the bench. That is what I'm trying to say. Like, I don't understand the process that goes into what it is that this team is doing with this roster. I don't get it. And even if we move off of Pat, look at the dynamics between Zach and DeMar and Vooch. Still haven't figured that out. Like, I don't trust this person who is getting all of or has gotten all of these accolades because of what it is that he was able to accomplish in college. I don't trust him being able to come up with a way to move this team forward successfully. And we see this on a regular basis because all of the coaches who coached with Billy Donovan have all surpassed him while being in on rosters that aren't even necessarily as good as the one that he has. I don't know how you get past that.
All I'm saying is Kobe and Pat came off the bench last year. You still had a starter staggered with them, which was either Zach or DeMar. He was able to play a little bit better off the bench with one of them still needing the ball in their hand. He's still not doing anything. Like, if you look at the stats, net rating, offensive rating, defensive rating for this team, for the lineups that have played 9 minutes together this season already, the worst lineup is Kobe, Pat, Zach, DeMar, Vooch. Worst offense, worst defense. Best defense is Kobe, Caruso, Craig, DeMar, and Vooch. Best offensive lineup is Kobe, Zach, DeMar, Vooch, and AC. Who is the common denominator on not being on our best lineup?
I don't Patrick know how Williams, you can. I don't know
Craig
how you can.
Or Caruso at power forward are better than Patrick Williams at a power forward.
I don't know how you can just say that, because if you look at like the plus minus, Pat has had a better plus minus in the past couple of games than Torrey Craig. That's not me. Like, that's just stats. Like, if you look at the plus minus that you were talking about,
and I didn't say plus minus. I said offensive rating, defensive rating, net rating. Plus minus has a lot to do with who else is on the court with you at that time. Nah, man. Like, Caruso is a better option at power forward than Patrick Williams.
Yeah, I saw that too. That net
Craig is a better option at power forward than Patrick Williams.
That's probably telling us then that he's not a power forward.
You like to bring up his first year. Who else had a good first year? Io. Why? League doesn't figure you out in your first year.
Io had a good second year, too.
No, Io he did not. He did not.
Coming into what he's doing, Io was one of the better defensive players. that the team had. And even in the league.
Terrible. We were talking about a sophomore slump for Io in the second year.
Yes, yeah, so he had a sophomore slump
offensively. Offensively, defensively,
he was not. He was not
he was getting cooked every night. He had moments where he locked up Trae Young, but on the nightly, he was getting cooked. People wanted Io gone and were saying that he was a waste of draft pick. Because the league figured him out. He hit that sophomore slump. Now Io is in a position where he's okay. There's nothing special yet. But again, it goes back to Billy because we have Javon Carter. What has he done and how much has he played? He's played very sparingly and it doesn't seem like he has a role in the team at all.
I definitely want to see more of him.
Like, whose fault is that? Billy.
Yeah.
That's why we came when to say we're like right back at the same place because we still have Billy Donovan. And this roster still just does not fit. And it's going to take for AK to get off his ass and do something and fire Billy, make some trades. DeMar's on the last year of his contract. We all love DeMar, but package him Patrick Williams and get somebody in here that can help.
You almost feel like he doesn't even like. You almost feel like he might not even be on the team come February. DeMar, like
after he said he wants to retire.
Yeah.
I'm just like, you see, Drew Holiday said he wanted to retire a Buck, and they traded him. So yeah. Maybe that's not what you want to say publicly if you want to stay on the team.
Mm-hmm. All I know for sure is that Pat Williams should be coming off the bench.
Oh, yeah. Craig should definitely be the star.
Yeah.
That's no issue. It's just, I don't think it's going to matter, especially if this rumor of him saying he wants to get paid.
200 million.
For what? For what? You're not even celebrating with your teammates on game winners.
Did he actually say that, or was that just like a rumor that was floated out there?
I have not heard him actually say the number, but I have heard him say that he wants to get paid.
It was like, this is still how I feed my family. He did say that too.
Well, he's got to play like it.
Which he hasn't.
At least fake it, man. Like, at least pretend.
Fake it till you make it.
At least pretend. That celebration, that lack of celebration when everybody else went nuts, that blew me. Like, that blew me. Like, seeing him, like, just, and then turn around and walk the other way and everybody else was going crazy. That was a turning point for me. You know, I've been like on this, like, it's okay. Give him a little bit more time. He's young. You know, we know he's got it in him. I hope he sees it, all this other stuff. But that was it. That was it for me. It's like hard to give him the benefit of the doubt. I know it's a, like one clip, but then seeing how he was just like, how he was playing defense against the Pistons. That just felt like the same attitude.
It's just like,
he doesn't want to be here, so it's hard to defend him.
We've been saying that the past, what, 3-4 years now?
Yeah.
Just give him some time. He'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. How much time does he need at this point?
And I would be able to give him grace if he was still in his figuring out period, but it doesn't feel like that anymore. It just feels like he just doesn't want to be here. You're not even trying. You're not even giving max effort at this point. And I know, like, we had interviewed Pat's brother last year, and like all of his comments about, like, you know, he's okay, like, deferring to the stars, and he's okay to, like, play a limited role, backseat role or whatever, but like he's not even doing that. So, like, we already knew from his background, like, what he's about, like his mentality, the fact that like all these players always have to jump in and say, like DeMar challenging him to get a tee and like, you know, just basically challenging him to care. Like you can't challenge somebody to like care or be passionate about the game. Like
you just when can't. You sign Torrey Craig and like one of the first things he said in the interview is, I'm here to push him. I'm gonna push mm-hmm. him in practice. Mm-hmm. Why does he need to be pushed?
He shouldn't need that. It would be appreciated, but he shouldn't need that. Like, there shouldn't be all these people stepping in, like, trying to, like, have it, trying to help him just give some effort to just care.
Right. It's so many people that have to go and talk to him and say, I'm going to challenge him to do this and I'm going to push him to do this. And it's like, he just comes out and does nothing.
Even when like, remember the birthday game?
The birthday.
His brother even challenged him. What was it? To break any stat?
To break rebound, assist, uh-huh. whatever. Didn't uh-huh. happen.
Mm-hmm. I do find it interesting, like, that the Bulls, like, when they drafted Dalen, they were like, he's competitive. And it made me, like, wonder, like, who was that a shot at? Like you came out of your, like, you made it a point to, like, really focus in on how competitive he was. And it made me think, like, were they talking about Pat? And if they were talking about Pat, it makes me wonder, when you went through workouts with him, like, what did you see that you believe that he was worth drafting as the number four player in that draft? I just wish like there was an ability to go back in time and like just be a fly on the wall during these workouts to see what it is that they saw.
Probably just his physique. That's about it. Then,
he plays like Marvin Williams.
The problem is though that Dalen's not good either.
And that's crazy because, like, that's what we were all, like, because we're like, yeah, he's got that dog in him. Like, you know, he's, like, he'll be the one to, like, push people and, like, light a fire. But he needs a little, he looks like a lost puppy. That's what I was
saying. We need to fuse his personality into Patrick Williams' body. Mm-hmm. And then Patrick will be good. Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Bulls have, like, they need an injection of energy. They need an injection of athleticism. And unfortunately, those players with those attributes are sitting on the bench, you know. And Dalen just got assigned. I just read down here that he got assigned to the Windy City Bulls.
Starting all over again.
Yeah.
It's going to be back and forth and back and forth all season.
Did they sign OB?
No, I just saw it was only Dalen from what I saw.
Billy needs to play him.
Play who?
Batine.
Is he on the roster?
He is a two-way contract and has been on the bench all three games in street clothes.
Oh. I would love to see like him and even Julian getting some run. Like just someone with some kind of energy out there that's just going to run down the court. Hey, we need you to just roll to the basket, get some tip-ins, like something. And the dude can jump out of the gym, you know. I think that Phillips has some athletic ability. That
oh, yeah, he does.
Help this team. But that remains to be seen if he'll get any run at all.
With Billy, no. It does not remain to be seen. With Billy, he will not get in until it's garbage time. Which he put Patrick Williams out there in garbage time last night.
Yeah.
Is that to embarrass him? Or like, what is he hoping to accomplish by doing that? Like, you wanted to be the man, so here's 48 seconds.
It's like, gonna all right, be a long season.
You're the best player on the court. Do something.
But yes, I would like more Julian playing time too. He's like a little inexperienced, but he's not scared. He has zero fear. He's doing the things that he you should be doing, like playing with max effort. And he's pretty athletic. He's just a little rough around the edges because he doesn't have the experience. But I would love to see him get more playing time. Be all over the place. Agreed.
So with that being said, like, are there any trades that you guys would love to see happen as far as not even necessarily helping this team this year, but like anything that would move the needle for you to get you just a little bit excited about maybe the future? Because right now, the present is sucking right now. So, Gary, what about the future?
Between Billy and Billy, I know that's not what you asked, but between getting Billy out of here and I don't know what kind of point guard we could sign, what's even available anyways, but those are like the two number ones for me. I don't know if I'm on the whole. Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to think that far ahead. I know we only have so much with like our big three, the core, but I don't want to speak too much on that. Which
is commonly referred to on Discord as the mid three.
Yeah.
Which fits a bit better, honestly.
So I was hesitant. I was going to do air quotes, but I decided not to.
We're only three games into the season. I don't want to just say blow it up, but.
No, not blow it up, but like any. Because they can't blow it up. Like the way like this organization is run, and with at least some of the players that they have under contract, I don't know if they're in position to do that right now.
Nah, but the mid three, it just cannot continue. Like I said, DeMar. So last year's contract, would hate to see him go, but this is a disservice to have him sit on this team in the first place. Let him go to a contender.
That's what I said.
I feel like he belongs in like LA or Miami.
Honestly, that's what I said too. I'm like, we don't deserve DeMar at this point.
Like bring a power forward in for him. I feel like we need a power forward more than we need a point guard. Because I don't think Kobe is – he's done that bad of a job. I mean, he had one bad game, but back-to-back after playing 40 minutes.
I think his game – they would look better if, like, Vooch was actually playing and, like, converting some of those easy shots. I mean – like, I can understand why Vooch was angry. Like, the Bulls have I saw some stat, and the Bulls have, like, a very good record when he gets, like, 16 or more field goal attempts per game. It's, like, well over 60%. So I understand, like, his frustration. He hasn't played like he's capable of playing. And I think that, for the most part, Kobe and him seem to have a pretty good connection on the court. Like, Kobe knows when to get him when and where to get him the ball on the court. So that's something that I kind of think that they can work a little bit more on. But yeah, like this season is not shaping up well. I know it's early, but I don't want to continue down this path of trying to argue for Pat.
On the bright side of things, I love Torrey Craig.
Yeah.
That's all I gotta say about that. Did you see
I
that?
Do too.
He's great. He's amazing. Thank God we got him. On a vet men too.
But even to ask him to do what he's doing, like I looked up and I was like, Torrey Craig is 32, and then that's not like old, but that pace that him and Caruso like they went on in that game, like I don't see him being able to sustain that. So that's the only problem that I see, which is why you need an injection of youth of some kind.
I mean, well, that's what Craig's known to do, defense and his three-point shooting. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I really feel like DeMar's the odd man out here. Because you remove him and this team can run.
Yeah.
It was so many times in the last couple of games where somebody is running and everybody else is just staying down at the other end of the court. Like, why aren't you running with them? Like last night where Zach was or was it DeMar? One of them had the ball up front. I think it was DeMar. He's running down the court. Nobody ran back except Alex Caruso starts coming down and almost got the rebound. But had somebody been there.
That was with Zach. Zach got the ball. And he tried finishing and he couldn't. There was nobody else behind him who was like doing anything, not running to like try to see like if they could convert if you know they missed out on that opportunity. So it is what it is.
Yeah. I just don't say point guard just because I'm still stuck in the Lonzo days with a functioning point guard.
He's still under contract.
Yeah. And it worked. I don't know if that was a fluke, but just having him there.
He's still under contract, and he says he's coming back.
Mm-hmm. They kill me when they put out those like graphics and I see Zoe on the posters. I'm like, please.
And I really feel like they're going to try to see if he comes back next season.
Is that where we're at? We're just holding out hope for Lonzo to come back from his injury.
I'm not.
That's what Jerry is doing. Yeah. Holding out hope for his wallet and for Lonzo.
I hope he comes back, but it's not like – I hope he comes back to basketball in general. I'm not like from the Bulls' perspective of us, like, you know, it's going to be some miracle that he comes back and plays for us and plays at the level he was playing. Nah, I hope he comes back, though, in general, to hoop. But not looking so cute.
I'm like, so we are back at it again tomorrow. Against Indiana.
Oh no, we suck.
We've got the Pacers tomorrow. Tyrese Halliburton, man.
I know we got a tough schedule to start.
Yes.
So.
I wish we could just go back to the home opener because at least if they lost, we didn't really care.
We had some wings after. We were cooling.
Met Eric from the Now We Are Here podcast. I was waiting to talk to Adam Amin. And he's like, oh, you're young Jordan. Can we take a picture together? And I'm like, me? All right, cool.
Celebrities.
Here we go. Don't forget about me, Derek. With you and Melissa have already hit it big, so neither one of you forget about me, please.
We met people, we had fun. Set the Pandu Lodge after the game. Yeah, Logan's 11 had some wings. Like,
Melissa was driving crazy, illegally parking. It was awesome.
Excuse me? Why would you say something so crazy?
I was just joking.
Just like, for the record, Melissa's one of the safest drivers I've ever
been. She really is. She did a very nice job getting us to our destination.
Well, thank you, Justin. Thanks for clearing that up.
Okay, so yeah, our next three games are the Pacers, the Dallas Mavericks, and the Brooklyn Nets.
Tough! Y'all flying back in? We can go to Logan right after.
I will be there a few times a season. It will not be next week. I'm not looking forward to playing against Luka because he's been absolutely crazy to start the season.
We're going to get cooked.
Pacers and Dallas are both 2-0. Nets are 0-2.
So you're saying there's a chance?
There's a chance. I mean, I know we're here talking like we're like in the 75th game of the season. But
that's what it feels
we're
like.
1-2. It's only been three games.
It does feel like that. Like that OT game took a lot out of me.
It was exhausting. Yeah. It was so exciting though, but it was exhausting.
Yeah. I mean we're only three games into the season. It's just that it's like a continuation of the whole Billy Donovan era is why we're just coming off like
yeah.
But there's time. Who knows? Hopefully like 10 games in and we're having like 3-7 record that would get Billy out. I mean, the players have said they know this is the last year for this core. It's got to be the last year for Billy Donovan, too, if stuff doesn't turn around.
They have flipped the roster over like three times for him already. So it's like, what else do you want them to do? What else you want? How many other coaches are able to like say that? Hey, our organization has like totally revamped the roster for me three times. I'm still failing, but I'm still here, guys. I need that level of job security. I really do. I don't have that level of job security as a teacher. And nobody's trying to do this gig.
So, yeah, that's like the little glimmer of hope in defeat is maybe it's close to us getting rid of Billy Donovan. But we're only three games now. We're 1-2. We can easily, well, not easily, but we can be above 500 at the end of this week. It's possible.
Is that going to be the mantra of the year?
It's possible. It's possible.
Or we'll get it next time. Y'all gonna watch anyways. Y'all gonna support anyways.
Yeah, it's always see red, but yeah, I don't like we'll get them next time because we'll say that and then we'll lose the season series to somebody. So it's possible. We'll go with it's possible.
Anything's possible.
Shout out Kevin Garnett.
Oh, man.
But yeah, hopefully it'll be a much more positive podcast next time and we'll have some wins. So it's possible. Until next time, go Bulls.
Yeah, go Bulls.
Yeah. Then it's game over. The horn blows.